With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hahn.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell.
This was bad.
Hardly.
Yeah.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week, welcome back.
Thank you for coming back again to see us and join our pain.
And join our pain. We do want to remind you that it is completely voluntary. If rom-coms are not your thing, just stop listening.
No, that's
if they're not
better,
your thing,
then
but
you
also want to rip them apart, it's fine.
Yeah,
if you just don't want to rip them apart and you want to hate on rom-coms, that's fine.
We've all had to suffer through them. That's the thing. So
exactly.
Let's do it together.
Yeah, let's do it together. Anyway, thanks for being here with us. Last week, we watched the... John Tucker Must Die.
That's right. John Tucker Must Die.
I wish somebody would have died in that movie, because otherwise...
Everybody.
It wasn't a murder plot.
No.
Which is the most upsetting. This week we watched the movie Head Over Heels, which James loved much.
There's a lot... My eyes hurt from rolling them. It was a bad one.
This was a bad one. It was pretty cheesy. There was no subtext at all. It was just only text.
I have socket strain from just the constant eye rolling of it. They hurt, seriously. They're uncomfortable.
Sore.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to read anything tonight, and they're just sore. My eye sockets.
Well, good, because all we have to do is...
I threw out my sockets watching this movie. That's how shitty it is.
My socket.
That's how shitty this is.
Okay.
That's how bad this movie is.
I threw out my sockets. I think that's going to be a new thing that we say. But anyway, thank you guys so much for all of your Patreon donations. Thank you for any of your Apple Podcast reviews. Let's get into it, James.
What about Patreon?
Oh, yeah. This week, we're going to do a bonus episode. We're going to do kind of like MASH, where we're going to put some actors
Show MASH.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like the game MASH.
We're going to dress up in green jackets and act boring for an hour and a half. That's what we're going
to
do.
And put you all to sleep. I always watch that show before bed. Okay, anyway.
Perfect.
I know, it was a snooze fest. Okay, so what we're going to do is we'll take like the actors or actresses from the movies that we have covered. We'll, you know, the cities, the fake jobs that they're in, the weird
fake
job.
I'm a magazine editor of this. I'm a restoration...
The fake job that the man or the woman has, like the love interest, and we're gonna make some movies where we're Frankensteining some movies together.
We're gonna mix and match ourselves and write ourselves some rom-com plots.
Okay,
they're gonna come out like Frankenstein if you messed it up and put like a foot on his head.
You're gonna be mad at me for this. We're gonna do the MASH.
I can't
the
wait.
The monster MASH.
Good
because
deal.
Frankenstein. Get it?
I get it.
Just ignoring me. That's fine. Anyway, so we watched Head Over Heels, 2001, 1 hour, 26 minutes, and it went by quick.
That was good that it was short. That's
the only
saving grace.
There was no down parts. It was all just like, okay, here's the next scene, here's the next thing. Again, everything was text, no subtext. Whatever anybody was feeling or whatever emotion they were trying to do, they're like, let's put some words here for this.
They never even let anybody ponder something for 10 seconds on the screen and just develop it as an actor and we can watch that unfold. Nope. They would just go, I'm thinking this right now and here it is and I'm doing this and what do you think about that?
But no, they didn't even care to hear what anybody, everything was very declarative.
Yeah.
Everything was very I'm upset with you about this. And there was no There was no discussion. It wasn't like the person could defend themselves. They couldn't like say, no, that's not what happened. It's just everybody was awful.
They're writing it and they're like, what's their motivation? Well, you know what? Let's just have them say it.
Yeah.
This is why I'm here. This is
what I'm feeling. We will tell them our motivation. That's what we'll do. Don't keep them guessing. All right. Starring Freddie Prinze Jr. and Monica Potter, the IMDb description, a young woman falls in love with a man despite her thinking that she's seen him kill someone.
Well, I guess that's what happened.
It's just a weird plot anyway. So like when you read that, you're like, nobody's like, this ought to be fun.
Yeah. And the fucked up part is it could have been a better plot.
Yeah.
The jokes would have still made the movie horrible and unwatchable.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
They could have at least made it somewhat of a.
Yeah. This should have been. It should have been like.
From Dusk Till Dawn in there.
Yeah.
Something like that where it turns dark.
They should have added Quentin Tarantino.
Picking off her roommates one at a time. And
yes.
That would have been. That's a movie.
Yeah.
A shit one, but it's a movie.
Well, it doesn't matter.
This is barely a movie.
This is one of my favorite movies, though, so I love it.
Whoa. This was a rough. It was rough.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. Taglines. There's like four of them.
Of course there is.
No, three. Wow. Okay. Four supermodel roommates, one regular girl. The guy next door doesn't stand a chance.
Oh.
That does not tell me the plot of the movie.
No.
That's fine.
Sounds like they're going to rape the guy next door.
Yeah, that's like, exactly what it sounds like. The second one is Unleash Your Inner Model.
Okay, that sounds like she's going to train to be a model.
Yep.
Which is not what happened.
Yeah, because the movie's called Head Over Heels. It's not...
No.
Head over heels in love with modeling. Anyway, and then it's the other one. The last one is how does it feel to fall head over heels?
Okay.
I got to tell you, fine.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Whatever. That's just boring. That's their generic. Like, we'll throw the generic out there. The other ones have a little. No, that's terrible. Moving on.
Fun fact is I love this movie. There was no like really good fun facts because this is like not a good movie. So I love this movie because some of the stupidity in it is just awful. There's tons of like poop humor in it. So obviously I'm into it.
There's quite the poop joke in here.
Much like the movie, we're just going to get right into it because voiceover.
I found a fun fact.
Oh, you did?
You didn't.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's one you rarely do this, but I found a fun fact.
I wonder what bullshit this is going to be.
Freddie Prinze Jr. has no acting talent. It's weird. That's a fun fact out there. It's strange. It's scientific. They opened him up like an autopsy. They searched not one speck, not a grain, like a sand grain.
He had that
anywhere.
Great 2000s hair.
He had 99 hair, big time.
Yeah, he had like 99, like 2000
hair.
It's
like a crown,
like,
kind of. But
yeah, it's spiky. But like also pretty professional. He has those like big eyebrows and like those soft puppy dog eyes where like, you know, like girls, I don't know, for whatever reason they.
And his dad was famous. So there you go.
His dad was super famous. His dad was great. Freddie Prinze.
The late 90s is when the 70s was getting a revival. Yeah. So people were like, hey, he has a kid. Let's put him in fucking movies.
But
he can't act. So what?
It's fine.
Who cares?
He always has that aw shucks look about him.
Ugh.
Like that, whatever.
The funny thing
is he's not like that in like real life, according to what I see like on Twitter. So I'm like, bro, I mean, good for you though, he collected some coins.
He wrote for WWE for like years some reason. I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you do that?
You're just mad because you want to write for WWE.
I certainly would never work for them in any capacity.
Well, yeah, no. You would never.
Not.
And also you could never because won't hire you.
I would imagine not because I've said some bad things.
Indeed. Okay, so we're just going to get right into it. The movie starts abruptly. There's not even like a credit. There's no title sequence, anything. Voiceover about...
First frame is voiceover. Bang.
It's Monica Potter, you know, voiceover. And she's like, I grew up in Iowa. And then here's the planes. And then she's like, and then I moved to New York because, you know, whatever. And then here's the trains.
Left hook, right hand.
Yeah.
Uppercut. It's just hitting you.
And then she's like talking about the demographics. And we see all of the... automobiles.
I dodge a jet.
You got nothing for my fucking planes, trains, and automobiles because
you're too busy
doing your shit.
I didn't even.
Well,
you know
Christ.
What? That was actually pretty clever, and I didn't even catch it. Was so clever.
Thanks a bunch. Coming up with it off the fly.
On the fly.
What's happening with me today?
Why are they doing that? Why'd they open it like that?
Because they were trying to be like, hey, look, she's a fish out of water. She's not even from New York. So, she, you know, we have to understand why she's blonde and why she's like, you know, awkward and polite yeah. because she's from the Midwest, which means that she's eaten some casserole. So now she doesn't know how to socialize.
But like a dozen of the movies we've covered start out with a voiceover saying how many people there are in New York and how many men or yeah. how many women. And,
blah, 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 blah. And then it's statistically, the same. I should oh, be able to find God. A boyfriend.
But look at me. I quote statistics. So that makes yeah. me lovably, you yeah. know, no, it's annoying.
It's super annoying. But what we're, everybody likes the girl next door thing. So you don't want to go out with a New Yorker. You want to go out with a nice Midwestern girl
yeah,
who goes to
Iowa.
New York.
Yeah.
And New York, New York.
New York.
And let me tell you something. That girl from Iowa makes fucking casserole.
She does. She yeah. does. Which, yeah, definitely.
And she makes a shit casserole.
She's been
of
around.
Life.
Is the yeah. other thing too. She's had yeah. relationships and has
she's had many
job
relationships.
She's really
so she goes over the whole demographics of New York, men versus women, and you know, and how awful it is yeah. to be a woman trying to get a man's attention. And so we see
she
some
says,
flashbacks.
There's 4 million men. That means there's 4 million people lying to the opposite sex.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
Exactly.
So that's, yeah.
So we have some flashbacks of like her and her boyfriend on the playground, and he apparently left her, he left, you know, child Monica Potter, for
Kitty Potter.
Yeah. Oh no.
No.
no. And, so she's like, you know, my boyfriend, when we were kids, he left me for some girl who is just sprouting boobs. And then she says that her high school boyfriend left her for some boy that he was making out with behind
the
bleachers
prom.
At prom.
Yeah.
And everybody always says, like, Amanda, this isn't what it looks like. And then we meet Monica Potter, and she works in art restoration at the Met. She specializes in Renaissance art. She works with three old ladies and another younger gal who's got...
She's achingly mousy and fucking
yeah.
like, you know,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Like,
I was going to say, we basically cover all the different personality types in every group that we meet in this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah. They're all cast like
they're
a reality
cast.
Show.
It's
everyone.
Like, yeah. It's very much group. Like that one is the smart one and this
yeah.
one is the secretly artistic one. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah,
just,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And the boss brings down a painting that he wants her to restore. She gets very excited about it. So excited, she gets weak in the knees over
oh,
it. Everybody's making fun of her because she gets weak in the knees for every new painting that they get. And she says that she likes paintings because that people in the paintings can stay in love forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you would think that she's like an old spinster, but no, apparently she's in a relationship
oh,
with somebody.
That's, yeah, that's how they make it seem like she's,
yeah.
I had
she's
one boyfriend
so
in college,
like,
but then I haven't had one since.
And then
since.
She's like, oh,
no.
I just want everybody to be in love forever. And then
yeah.
everybody and that works with her is like, well, you know, speaking of in love, like, shouldn't you be going home and like, you know, bringing
yeah.
your boyfriend food? And she's like, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. So they're making fun of her because, you know, she's just kind of space cadet.
She's so into the painting, that's
she,
the thing.
She says such a stupid thing. She says, like, this is what I mean when I say it's text and no,
it's all
no
exposition.
Subtext
and,
at all.
Yeah.
She says, what do I need a personal life for if I love my work so much?
If my work life makes me happy. Yeah.
yeah.
It's like, wow, geez.
So, that's the part of the movie where I went, okay, what dude wrote this? And James looks it up and he goes, not one dude, four.
Four guys wrote this movie. Number one, what the hell makes four guys want to write this movie? A.
Yeah.
And number two, who the hell would take this movie from four guys and go, yeah, you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
So they kind of shame her and she's like, oh, that's right. I promised my boyfriend that I would bring him food. So she goes over to her apartment. It's Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, it's goddamn Deadwood.
Sheriff Bullock from Deadwood.
Yeah.
And he's banging some broad in their bed. And she's like, hi, what's going on?
Not just some broad.
Oh, she's a model.
She is the model from the cover of the lingerie catalog.
Yeah.
That's literally
who
he's banging.
Who the fuck is this guy
yeah.
and how did he get that?
Well, that's what I mean. She's like, oh, I'm so like mousy and I don't see anybody. Meanwhile, she's banging Tim Oliphant, who people seem to think is a good looking guy. Not only that, especially in
but
2001.
He bangs models.
Yeah, her boyfriend is a guy who bangs like top models. So like, where is she meeting these people?
Yeah.
All she does is go to work and go home. Was he
yeah.
at the deli or something?
And she doesn't even know about a personal life. I didn't understand how.
Who are these people?
Why couldn't the affair like this have happened in the flashback?
That's what
because
I'm saying. That would have made sense.
The whole lead up to it didn't make any sense because it was like, okay, so she's currently scorned.
She
has decided
said,
to
yeah.
immerse herself in her work.
Yep.
Hates men. And then she's, you know, they're like, you got to get out there and you got to meet somebody. And then boom, you meet Freddie Prinze Jr.
She could have been
no.
like, my last boyfriend and cut to that. Yeah. That scene was not necessary.
That was like present day. And then she's just like, no, dang it. Like, she's very Eeyore about
it. You could have fixed that in post. Like, I could cut and paste that now and fix that movie for you. I know it was 19 years ago, but I could just fix that and it would really help the movie a lot.
Yeah.
Not enough to make it good, but I mean,
no. It would just make your brains happier.
It would make that part make more sense and flow better. Yeah.
So, okay. So that's where we're at. She's crying at her friend's house that she works with. She's sleeping over there because she needs to move out of her apartment because Timothy Oliphant
is great. Yeah. Cause he's banging
for such a romantic. She's just like, nope. And then just like, nope. Fuck Timothy Oliphant for the rest of the movie. Who the fuck is
they don't
Timothy
even bring
Oliphant?
Him up.
He never shows up again.
After that scene with her in the pile of tissues. Yeah. She's
literally in a pile of tissues.
Yeah, like you bury people at the beach in sand and their head sticks out. That's pretty much her with tissues with the lesbian friend hanging out with her, who is like weirdly coming on to her, sort of like grabs her tit at one point.
Yeah.
It's like that's another thing. You're like, this was written by guys.
Yeah. So like, I wonder, like, this is what lesbians do, right?
Yeah.
No, sir.
They're like, what's up? And like grab their friend's tits, like that's not a no.
They have respect for people. What's just up? Like everybody else does.
No.
Or should.
No. You get a lesbian chick with some like dreads and they just be like, what's up, feeling their fucking straight friends up all the time. That's what they're doing.
So we don't
they
get
cut
the
away
sense.
Otherwise you would have saw her finger. I mean, that's the thing.
Wow.
That was next.
Okay.
She was
anyway
just fucking.
So I kind of thought that she was doing that because she's like kind of like, I don't know how long I'm gonna stay here.
It's
but
so
then as
stupid.
Soon as the friend like gropes her, she's like, I'll start looking for an apartment next week. And then she's like snuggling with her more and she goes, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if she was trying to be like, hey, it's cool if you sleep here like a couple nights, but whatever.
Yeah, no, I think she was like, oh, I'm uncomfortable because friend who's been my friend is all of a sudden now a sexual predator. Like,
we work together and it's cool. She grabbed my boob when we were sleeping.
Now she's predatory.
It's a hodgepodge of shit because perhaps it's because she, you know, wants to get her friend out of there, but you don't get that sense. And then you're also like, oh, yeah, four dudes wrote this. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Four dudes wrote. I think she went over. I think that was her friend's apartment.
At her friend's apartment.
Yeah, so I mean, she was like, I can't stay here longer because she's going to keep grabbing my boob.
Yeah, then what's next?
Oh, what's next?
Nobody does that.
No.
Nobody
they
does
really
that.
Don't.
No.
I know like a lot of gay people. I know a lot of gay dudes. I've never been talking to them. They're just like, huh? Grab your cock. Is that cool? Yeah. Never once fucking happens. Like, we're still not. Yeah. That's still not how that works.
No.
Like, oh, he's single and grab his cock, even though he's not interested, obviously.
No. Anyway, so
I'm a predator now. That's what it was.
Well, you never do that to Jimmy either.
What?
You guys don't just like as friends, you're not just like grabbing each other.
Well, I mean, if like one of us was gay, it wouldn't be like, well, obviously he must be, you know, attracted to me and willing to like grope me for no reason.
Okay.
Like just because that's so weird.
We're going to move off of this because there's a whole lot of shit that happens in this movie.
Yeah. We got to get through it
apartment
quickly like
hunting,
the movie.
Yeah. Apartment hunting montage. Okay. This montage seems like it's fun to buy an apartment or rent an apartment in New York, but she only goes to like one place.
No, she rips one
thing down and she goes to this one place, but like there's a whole montage for her going to this one place. Like
literally
it wasn't
her
like
ripping one ad off the wall.
She found it and then she was like, fuck yeah.
She didn't even look in the paper, I don't think.
She
like
she just found it on like a bulletin.
Yeah, it was like on a bulletin. She ripped it off like guitar lessons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh,
she's like, I could be a nanny.
Yeah.
Rip. Yeah.
That's
anyway.
What it was like. That's how apartment hunting in New York works.
Yeah, apparently. It's just you find one and then you're like, I got a golden ticket.
And it's cheap and it's a big place.
Yeah, you run. You know, because now she goes into this beautiful building and like the elevators are gold. And
oh,
this
it's
place
gorgeous.
Looks super nice.
Yeah.
It's the place is like $500 a month, which I get it that it's 2001 and maybe you don't have access to a printer. But I'm going to say one because it was like a hand drawn thing.
Hand drawn
like
and Xerox.
500, you know,
looking
whatever.
For female roommate.
I was just I guess maybe if you had it in type, it would look more serial killer-y. Never
mind. That looked like girly. The handwriting
that looked
girly.
We're not going to kill you.
Like there was like stars and hearts and shit on it. Yeah, of course.
So Freddie Prinze Jr. is looking at his, I think, a BlackBerry when he's like scrolling on his phone in the elevator. A huge dog, a Great Dane.
It's one of those, what are they called?
The rolly ball thing, the mouse.
It wasn't a BlackBerry back then, though. That shit was like
a Motorola Q.
It didn't make calls. That was just like a like one of those, like
a
an organizer.
Thing,
yeah, like a Palm Pilot.
So the dog this huge Great Dane comes running and knocks Monica Potter over. And he like asks if Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, whoa, and asks if she's okay.
unleashed a dog.
They make eye contact. Manhattan. Yeah, they make eye contact. And then she goes weak in the knees like she does with the paintings. Eh?
Oh,
see
yeah.
what I'm talking about? Because the friend asked her, do you ever get, you ever feel like you feel with paintings with guys? And she's like, you don't feel that way about men. And then here she is feeling that way about a man.
I'm a grown woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Freddie Prinze Jr. says
I mean, sort of a man. He's a perpetual man child, that Freddie Prinze Jr. Anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't age.
He's not, he never looks like a man.
Oh, but shut up, you don't age either.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
I look like an adult, though.
No. Yeah, because, no. Okay. Anyway. I don't want to talk about how many boxes of cereal you have because you are.
Well,
an adult,
I'm not an adult. I said yeah, okay. I didn't say I was an adult. Okay. I said I look like an adult. Okay. There's a difference.
So, Freddie Prinze Jr. says that the reason why there's this dog is that he takes his neighbor's dog for a walk because she broke her hip, but he doesn't have the dog on a leash.
Not at all.
And if you're like, oh, so first of all, if you have a dog and it's your dog and you know that he's going to be cool, you might be more lax with it because you know you can be like, hey. Don't do that, like, you know, or whatever. You have your commands with your dog. But this is somebody else's dog.
And you're still, like,
and you're just like
comfortable.
Yeah, you're just like, no sweat. Sorry that he just bowled you over.
And then, like, yeah, and he takes her out and takes the dog out in the street like that.
And
no
like,
leash.
That dog, okay.
140-pound dog,
we
no
have,
leash.
Okay, I'm 5 foot what? One. And our dog is like half my height when she's standing up on all four legs.
Yeah, just standing
and
there.
She's just half my height. And when she runs into you, it hurts. And you're like rolling around for a while.
Yeah, there's no
you
way.
You brace yourself and then you're like, oh my God, Frankie.
You wouldn't take her unleashed into an urban area.
There's no way that I would have a friendly relationship with somebody whose Great Dane just bowled me over. I'd be like, fuck you. Like, I'd be mad. No matter how handsome. If I ran into you and you had Frankie run over me, I would think you were an asshole.
But it was his save the cat moment where it's like, you know, he walks his dog for his injured neighbor. What a nice guy.
Yeah, what a sweet
She's
guy.
Had a hip
and then he's just smiling like,
an old lady.
You okay?
You know? Yeah.
You okay?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there, Freddie Prinze here. How
you
doing?
Hi.
Remember my dad?
He I'm going to smile at you until you feel better about yourself.
And
then you're like, wow, it's working. Okay. Then here's where, okay, so Monica Potter has kind
of... Is that her real name or
her
name in the movie?
Yeah, her name is Monica Potter. No, her name is Amanda.
Monica Potter. Amanda Amanda. They say it 100 times.
Terrible naming in this movie.
Monica.
Amanda whatever. Was it Amanda Hug and Squeeze? Like
something.
Hug and Kiss.
Is this like, is this girl in anything else, Amanda Potter? Monica Potter, whatever her name is. I don't know.
Yes.
Who
you
is
finally
she?
Messed up names.
I don't care.
Okay,
I don't know who she is.
She's in several things.
Is she?
I just couldn't
Did
tell you
Did she
what
go
it
away
is.
And like, is she one of those people who was like, she was a Y2K, like rose like a phoenix and then died out in the ashes?
Yeah. So there's a lot of writing here. And this is Monica Potter. Monica Potter has, we're introduced to our first type of diarrhea in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of poop happening here. Just a bunch of poop.
Not even poop. Diarrhea. Okay.
So aggressive.
Monica Potter represents word diarrhea. Okay. So she's like, you need to control your dog. And then he says, that's not my dog. And then she says, well, it's nice to meet you and your huge dong. Yuck. I mean, he's got a huge dick. Like she's doing this whole like
trying
penis
to get the word
talk,
dog
right?
out, of course.
And then the old guy who's the security guy is like, that's just a horny dog.
Yeah, the
like,
one, he's like, by the way, the one black person in New York City apparently is a fucking elderly doorman who sleeps through his job.
Yeah, and he sounds like he's from the South.
She couldn't even wake him. She was like, hello, I'm going
I'm
up and
he's
literally going in his fucking chair. He didn't wake up until the dog tackled her.
Oh, that,
that's true. That's true.
She was very smart.
Yeah, she was. She was actually the smart one of the model crew.
She was going to go to Stanford.
Before that, that's the only two black people in the entire city.
No. There's
that's
definitely more black people.
Just once again, it's a theme, running theme in these romantic comedies.
Never,
is New York City, three black people in the whole city. Like, I'm sorry,
and
but
one
no.
of them's in this crew.
Yeah, and one of them definitely hangs out with the lead character.
Okay, so the apartment that she goes to go see after she just got mauled by a dog and then like
it's beautiful.
I guess sexually harassed by a dog, but anyway,
you kind of humped her a little.
This apartment is giant. It's huge. It has like this big eat-in kitchen. Like, yeah. It's a great room, and like there's four girls that currently live there.
It's a $20 million easy apartment.
And
nowadays.
Then they are renting out a closet, but they're calling it a bedroom. It's like a sad little cot. And like yeah. a nightstand.
It looks. Remember Godfather 2?
Yes.
When they brought
yep.
Vito over and quarantined him when he still yep, while he looked at the Statue of Liberty.
That song. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the room they put her in.
What if
that's
she the exact. Doing
it's a
that.
Vito Corleone quarantine room. If she started oh singing God. The song, that would have been great. I would have loved that if they just did like a shot for
say,
shot Godfather 2 scene.
Because they try to do these like weird Austin Powers things, like the oh, you have yeah. a huge dong.
Well,
dog has a huge dick. You know,
that gross out kind of like, you know, crude thing was really think about American Pie made a yeah. shitload of money and all the, yeah. the Austin Powers that late 90s. It was yep. really big, just like a crude fuck a pie joke.
Yeah. So this one is the only apartment that she's seen so far. Remember, it is $500 a month.
Oh,
so
yeah.
she is, seems to be pretty jacked about it. We meet all of the roommates. So all the girls come in. They introduce themselves as a very specific type of model. They are the last four non-smoking models on the island of Manhattan.
That's
the demographic.
That's how they ended up together.
There is a Russian one, an Australian one. Oh my God, they're kind of like the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were going for.
Okay, yeah, they're going for the Spice Girls because
yeah.
they have like a ditzy, like Australian yeah. one who does like the, my uncle always looks at me, like type
yeah.
thing.
I know a lot about the water.
Yeah, Australia's an island, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, they have this like brunette one who's like, you know, uber bitchy, but
she's worried.
She's like a secret artsy one. She's yeah. actually really smart, but she doesn't want to be smart. She's just like, let's just use
she's
everybody for their
greedy.
Money.
Yeah. yeah. She's the super greedy
The Russian one.
One
is fun. I like her a lot. She's funny. And then there is the black
Lisa,
girl
the,
who's
the only
smart
other,
one who went yeah. to Stanford, but she's hot. So
what's
but I don't blame her. She's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. She's yeah. she's the yeah the only other... The only other black person
because she's like,
in the
look
entire
at me,
island.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, okay,
yeah.
I wish that you could get an education and be a model, but it's cool, whatever. You can get an education anytime. Work it, okay. Anyway, so the that we find out because you're like, how are they able to afford this apartment? Well, the modeling agency rents the apartment to them for free, and they rent out the closet. I mean, bedroom
for some spending cash that
yeah.
they don't need because they never have to pay for anything, as they repeatedly say.
Exactly.
So I don't know why they need spending cash.
Yeah, and also because there's men lined up outside their apartment.
There's
a list
on the door.
Yeah, they start lining up, and there's a list. They're all wearing suits, and the girls like peek at them through this like peephole thing. That they have,
it's like
I guess,
it's
for
a
mail.
Giant mail slot.
Yeah,
it goes from it side
like
to side.
It looks like it's from like what Billy Crystal would use in The Princess Bride. Yeah. To open it and be like, "What do
yes,
you want?"
That's exactly.
Yeah,
what it is.
It looks like a weird like.
That's exactly what it is.
Who is it?
It makes like a whoosh yeah. noise when they lower it. It's
yeah.
not like a little. Yeah.
It's very dramatic, and I love it, and I want one.
And they all line up their eyes. And
I would do that. Well, except for everybody would have to duck down to look at me. God damn it! That's why
like,
I'm not.
You'd yeah. be on like a
I'm
Apple
down
box
here,
back
you
there,
dumb bitch. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this is like stalking. I feel like they know where the girls live. They know to put.
Well, there's a waiting
list
on the door. They're inviting
like
these people to
I
come
know,
here.
I know, but it just feels weird. Like I wouldn't want to. I'd be like, because Monica Potter's like, there's men outside. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, that's what we tell
yeah.
them to do. Wait,
so,
and they pick them like a little
yeah.
pen of available
yeah,
men.
Yeah, they're giving us good advice. They're telling us, you know, what to look for, and you know, like, hey, look at the small signs. Oh God, I don't remember her name.
Which one?
The black girl. I don't remember what her name was.
I don't remember anybody's name. I
no.
thought the one girl's name was Molly. I didn't even
I forgot
know.
All of their names. But anyway,
Amanda
so she
Potter.
Gives us... She No, it's Monica.
Wait, you said Molly.
No, I didn't say Molly.
Her name is Molly Parker or Amanda.
No, I didn't say...
Right? That's her name? Molly Potter. Right? No?
No.
And in the movie, it's Amanda.
It's Monica Potter.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Monica Potter.
The Stanford model, I don't remember any of their names. The Stanford model tells us that we have to learn to look past what they want you to see, which is a good lesson. So you look at stuff.
Wise, I guess, yeah.
You should pay attention to things. Look in their eyes. Yeah,
fair enough,
you should always pay attention. But anyway, they're like, do you want to come out with us? And Monica Potter says, no, I don't want to come out because I definitely can't afford to go out with you guys.
No.
And she's like, we don't pay. We're models. Yeah, so like, great. We get the idea that they're just, you know, what they're walking around topless. They're changing shirts. They're exchanging shirts.
Yeah, no, you take
time.
My shirt.
This shirt doesn't look cute on me. Like, whatever.
It's obviously like a teenage boy's idea
of
what an apartment full of sexy women would be doing.
Yeah.
They'd just be walking around topless because, you know.
And then the pillow fight starts at 9:30.
As a teenage boy, if we were a hot woman hanging around with other hot women, we would be walking around topless. That's what we think. They must be walking around topless, like just exchanging clothes.
No.
And then, all right, everybody, we're going to have oral sex lessons out on the balcony at 8:15.
And then the pillow fight's at 9:30.
Pillow fight's at 9:30. And then, yeah, we're going to.
Everybody, don't forget to not wear a bra to the pillow fight.
Tomorrow is 69 night, everybody. Remember. Okay, it's going to be
great.
We're
just going to sleep like that.
They all sleep like naked on cots in the main room.
If one of us was a lesbian, we'd be groping you.
Yeah, of course.
That's a teenage boy. So, yeah, we didn't look up the age of these people when they wrote it.
Apparently 14, because the girl, the lesbian gropes her friend.
Yeah.
All these girls walk around topless.
Jeez.
There's so many things that you're like, oh, boy, definitely, definitely do
this. I wonder what dirt somebody had on Freddie Prinze Jr. to do this movie.
Well, this is what movies were in 2000. Yeah. This is what women wanted.
Anyway.
I don't know why.
No.
But you liked it. I've never heard of it, and you liked it.
Because
so
it's
is
bad.
What
women, it's
I know,
a good,
but you've
bad
seen
movie.
It. I didn't know it would
Listen,
existed.
If you are working on a script for
who
something.
Who do you think this movie was for?
I don't know. If you are working on a script for something, whether it be a play, a musical, a movie, just keep going, because this movie exists.
That's okay. True. It can't be as bad as this.
So Monica Potter goes to talk to the Australian model, and she had an earlobe operation.
Yeah, that's her ongoing joke.
Yeah, so she always has these. So the agency pays for her to have surgery. She gets like an eye something or other.
Her ears or
she
neck
probably
or chin
blew
or...
out her sockets.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
She had to get an eye operation.
That's what happens. See, that's what happens. This
and
movie,
then,
it's dangerous.
She had to get like her nose done and her chin done because she's trying to be more symmetrical.
Yeah.
Whatever, but...
Yeah. Molly.
Monica Potter says that the beauty is in the flaws.
It's in the flaws, Molly.
She can see Freddie Prinze Jr. from his apartment. Like
that's the main point of the movie here.
So now we're getting into the main point of the movie. So we met all the characters.
Yeah.
Who cares? Now we're going to get into the story. And also, who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're along for the ride.
The story's
You're
so stupid anyway.
It's
this
so
goes.
Good.
We'll go bust through it fast.
The girls,
it doesn't matter.
They can see into Freddie Prinze Jr.'s apartment. His is like the apartment directly across and below.
Yeah, it's like a floor down.
It's like a floor down, whatever. And so we're introducing. She's like, oh, holy shit, I just met that guy. And how do you know him? And blah, blah, blah. He's Jim Winston. That's a dumb name.
And what
and
does he do?
He's a fashion executive.
Of course. She restores Renaissance era paintings for the museum, and he's like fashion executive.
And the funny thing is that they're just like, oh, yeah, like the girls say he's pretty hot in the industry, and it's like, what does any of this mean?
That's what it's just
nothing.
Nothing. It's bullshit. This movie.
There'd be so much more hot goss about this guy. It wouldn't just be like, I don't know. He seems pretty cool.
Especially from that era. He'd be like, he drugged this girl and, you know, she woke up with his dick in her mouth and that wasn't cool. But, you know,
but
he paid her off afterwards.
They try to tell you that the Australian girl is stupid. Because she's Freddie Prinze Jr. is looking into his fish tank, so his face gets really big, and she's like, his face is not always like that.
Yeah, it's
and,
the water
you know,
that
it's
does
just
it.
The water that does that. I know a lot about water. Dumb.
Australia's an island, you know.
And
she
then
says.
She says, you want him, eh? And then she says, that look on your face, because I used to see it all the time when I catch my Uncle Pete looking at me.
Yeah.
Ew. None of these jokes are funny. I've never once heard that and been like, oh, cool, you're talking about incest. That's hilarious.
Well, they make her, they make the Australian out to be like she's from, like, you know,
they
rural
say that she's
Alabama.
From the Outback.
Yeah.
And they're saying, they're like, oh, yeah, it's cool. Like, stop telling a story from the Outback.
But then they just plug in, like, rural Alabama jokes. You know what I mean? That must be, like, what the Outback's like, too. Australian listeners, let us know. Is that
do you guys
found
have
out,
these weird things about how these people's uncles fuck them or something?
Is
like,
Outback equal Alabama? Like we found out yesterday that New Jersey equals Manchester in England.
Oh, yeah,
those
yeah,
are the
yeah,
same. They're similar.
We did.
The people are similar.
Yep.
There. That's what we found out.
That.
So I'm wondering if the Outback.
Yeah.
Is it just a constant cousin
then,
fucking mess out there?
And
let
then
us know.
Also, like, do you guys need help?
Yeah, what's going on out there?
Like,
what's going on? Are you still...
do we need to draw attention to it and help you and save you from this?
Yeah, if the fires haven't driven you away from there, would it be the cousin fucking? We don't know. What's going on out there?
Yeah.
Aussie listeners, help us.
Yeah. So the next day, the Hamlet, the Great Dane. I know the dog's name, which is the funny thing. I don't know anybody else's name.
Yeah.
He's
well,
Hamlet.
They scream it. That's why. Hamlet. They scream it like nine times.
And she also says
she
something about like,
reference.
Oh, Great I get Dane. It. Great Dane. Yeah. It's a great name for a dog.
Great Dane, Hamlet, I get it. Yeah,
okay, so the Great Dane tackles Monica Potter again to the street, knocking over her latte. She's like bumbling and stumbling all over herself with, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. because he's doing this whole like, can I get you a new latte? And so, like smiling.
Come on, Molly Amanda, let me help you.
And then he's like smiling until she's okay again. He's like, it's okay.
That's what he does. He just smiles
in
place.
He just smiles. But he never, like, he's never showing genuine concern.
Never.
He laughs and then he's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
For everything.
She falls
down concrete stairs at one point. He's like, ooh, are you okay?
The back of her head is constantly just flying at concrete. And he never, never says shit. This is the second of three major head injuries she could suffer in here. And he never says a word to her about, hey, holy shit, do you need to see a doctor? Yeah. Are you okay? Can we get you tests?
So this is where James and I posited the theory that this movie should have been like The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Where the whole model thing and the whole Freddie Prinze Jr. thing was all just like a fever dream, like or a coma.
A concussion
thing.
Dream from Hamlet knocking
like
her over.
And from Hamlet knocking her over or something like that. And then there's this whole thing that she's got going on because she's just not thinking straight because her boyfriend Timothy Oliphant is a butthead. See, you forgot about Timothy Oliphant because you just looked at me like, who?
I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He's in this movie briefly.
Why are you bringing up Sheriff Bullock?
What happened there? I'm just trying to run a hardware business.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably left New York because of his shame and opened up a hardware business.
Opened up a hardware business.
Because he did. Oh no, he was the sheriff there. Okay, anyway. So I was like, maybe we don't know what he did.
Yeah,
so anyway, we thought that this might be a thing where like the three old ladies that she works with are like the models and then the younger girl that she works with is one of the models. And then, you know, like we thought that it would be like a whole whatever. Nope. It would be a better movie though.
Yeah. Well, that's one option for a better movie.
And you were there?
Yeah. And then there's the second option.
Craziest dream.
For a movie coming up here.
She says, my favorite thing, again with her word diarrhea, I've got the runs because she's got to get away from him.
I mean, I've got to run. Oh my God.
She goes out to dinner with the girls. So she's decided that she's fine. She's like, definitely can't afford to go out with you guys. And now she's like, sure, I'll go out with you.
Yeah.
And had these guys pay $1,200 for our dinner. But
that they're not allowed to sit at the table with them.
We hear all these sad woes about Monica Potter's love life, like where she's like, yeah, so you know, that's why it's not gonna work out, like, you know, I always do this.
And they're like, sorry, yeah. Molly Parker, we wish we could help you more.
Yeah.
They're like,
then they have this whole thing where they sit at the table and eat their food,
the models,
and the models do, and then they have the models have the men who are taking them out go stand by the bar,
and there's like a dozen of them,
like, wait, and whoever picks up the tab,
they hold up the receipt, they hold up the check, and the men rush over there to be the first to snatch it out of her hand. They're like, allow me to take you out to dinner, ladies.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Yeah.
And they never actually...
Oh, he said it's nothing.
It's nothing. They never actually talked to these men.
What did that guy say when we went out to dinner that one time?
It's not a challenge. Yeah, this guy...
Okay, so when we were at dinner, and this guy... He wasn't a random guy from the restaurant.
Yeah,
no, he was our waiter.
That would be
and
weird.
He was really great. He was great. He was on top of everything, and it was really great. But every time that he would take something, because I'm Midwestern, I'd be like, oh, thank you.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, thank you
polite.
So much. And we're both really polite. And, you know, because we used to be servers. So when we would say, oh, thank you so much, he would go, it's not a challenge. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, you brought me a fork. Obviously, it's not a fucking challenge.
I'm not challenging you.
I don't see any like braces on your legs or anything here.
We like break it and we tell him that he's got to put it back together as
a
puzzle.
That's not it. He's not. Nobody wheeled. There's no muscular dystrophy or anything. There's no telethon for him. He's just a guy standing there. It's not a challenge.
Yeah.
I know.
So,
you brought me ketchup. Thank you. Obviously, it's not a challenge.
If it was,
that would be a whole other issue with you.
Let's be done talking about this. We spend 18 minutes time.
It'd be better if we said, can I have some ketchup? And he went,
I have to go get
I think so. Give me a minute. Hold on. I'm going to go, excuse me. Bob. And he goes up to another guy in like a nicer outfit, a suit. And he's like, do we have ketchup? And they're both looking over at us.
Stop. We're getting to the good part. So,
what? When it's over?
No.
Oh.
Montage of Freddie Prinze Jr. watching.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
There must be something wrong with him because Monica Potter is attracted to him. So, God damn it, we're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He is babysitting a cute baby. And she's like, oh, that's a love child. Okay. They are watching him through binoculars, okay? And Freddie Prinze Jr., nobody uses any curtains or blinds or anything in this movie except for like two times, and then that's it. But in any of these movies, nobody uses window coverings at all.
No, it's just it's part of the game.
But she's got binoculars on and they're like looking through, and he doesn't notice that five people are staring like out their window with binoculars.
Nope,
and
not
maybe
at all.
He's just completely oblivious because
it's a one way.
Yeah. But even if he did, wouldn't he just look at them and just smile from the balcony until they're okay? Hi.
Five women staring at me for no reason from directly across the court.
Are you okay?
Hello?
That's what men do. That's what, like, that's all, like, what these four teenage boys think that women think that men do. Hi, are you okay?
Hey, are you okay?
And then they always ask, like, you know, it's cool. Do you believe in love at first sight?
Yeah, they're always, like, a little corny.
Yeah,
they always
dumb.
Make them, like, let's make them be slightly, like, what would you be embarrassed saying? Make them say that.
It's super embarrassing.
That's how they write.
So, anyway, we see the babysitting, and it's obviously he's babysitting, or he's not even babysitting. He might just be, like, watching his niece or nephew or something. I don't know. But anyway, this couple comes to
his
baby.
Kid, obviously.
He buys candy from, like, these Catholic schoolgirls. She says that they must be prostitutes.
Underage prostitutes.
She says that he must be doing some underage prostitution ring. I was like, okay, maybe I get the love child thing. Like,
yeah.
All right, maybe. That, you know, we don't know who the dad is. We don't know anything about
him.
But first of all, Freddie Prinze Jr. is absolutely babysitting in a suit.
Yeah, he does everything in a fucking suit, pretty much, except for pull-ups.
Yeah.
He even shits in a suit. He keeps his suit he's a very formal shitter in this movie. He's very formal. He gets you should see when it's a really bad one. He puts his bow tie on. It's a whole tuxedo and a cummerbund. He really gets in. He throws the tie over his shoulder like he's eating a sandwich or some shit. Like he's eating a bowl of soup. That's how he fucking shits in this movie. He's like, don't want to dip that tie in my minestrone. Better throw it over my shoulder so I can properly, completely empty the insides of myself from everything I've ever eaten. That's the other thing. He must have taken the amount of fiber he must have eaten before this shit is incredible. It's a dumb.
Okay, shut up. We're not even there anymore because we're still talking about the child prostitutes.
Oh, that's right. He's having an illegal child prostitution ring. Let's get to that part.
And then she says the sentence. I was like, oh my God, Monica Potter. Those little whores are good.
Those little whores are good. Yeah, Molly.
It's not my Molly. It's Monica.
Shit.
Okay.
All right, Molly, fine.
Stop it. Okay. Yeah. Then he does pull-ups. Everybody's counting how many pull-ups he does. Then they see that he's throwing a party, so they're just like, let's go crash it.
Yeah, let's crash the party.
And then they said, everybody wants models to go to the party. He's like, you know what everybody's thinking at that party? Oh, God, I wish models would show up to this party. Nobody says that, but that's why this is all text. It's like, should we say that the models will crash the party? Well, yeah, because everybody wants models to show up at a party.
Totally. High five. Let's do it.
Right, Kyle?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes,
all right.
Trevor.
Yeah, I think one of the writers might have been named Kyle. I'm not sure.
If it is, I will die. Okay.
Yeah, you.
Okay, great. So she doesn't want to because she's clearly obsessed with him because she drew his face on a piece of paper to like, because she's got to redo. Nope. What is it called? Retouch up this one painting.
Yeah, he's got
to
remask.
A titian or whatever it is.
Yeah, we're not art buffs.
So apparently
it's a Renaissance part.
We are art buffs. We watch Below Deck.
That's art right there.
That is fucking art.
That, by the way, we have to do a bonus episode about that show one of these days because
it's our new favorite
it's
show.
It's amazing.
It just passes the time in between 90 Day Fiancé. Okay.
Well, obviously.
So he, Freddie Prinze Jr. has a very Renaissance face. And then, so Monica Potter also doesn't want to go there because she thinks that Freddie Prinze Jr., since he is a fashion executive, that he must only date models. So
yes.
She's just like, nope, he must only date models. So never mind.
Yeah, he must. He only dates models.
Well, if he only dates models, then we're going to make you a model. So now we go into a glam montage.
Oh, my God.
With Take a Chance on Me.
Yeah, it's a makeover montage. Like,
Take a Chance on Me.
Yeah, chicks make each other over. Yeah. That's what they do. Make them make each other. But I will say, in the four gentlemen who wrote this, John, Ed, David, and Ron, all four of those guys, because I just looked them up, these guys, one thing I will give them, every single one of these movies has some montage where women are making up other women to present them somewhere. So I think they were just going on what they'd seen in other shitty movies.
And this was in the early 2000s when everyone was wearing a lot of eyeliner and a lot of dark eyeshadows.
Yeah,
so
that was...
Now I hear you, man. I did the put some permanent marker on some binoculars looks. It was looking cute.
That was hardcore.
Good.
Yeah.
Got to pop some peepers.
By the way, I think I know why Freddie Prinze went to the WWE. When I looked up to find the writers' names just now, this movie made less than its budget in worldwide release. So that's why.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this not a good movie. Not terrible at the box office. And 10% on Rotten Tomatoes as well. So really killing it, this movie.
Yeah, really killing it. Anyway, the girls tell us that we should blast our nips before we go into the party.
Yep, blast them. Twist them.
You got to twist them up. Let them know that the headlights are on, because that's what attracts you to the dudes at the party.
Let them know.
Monica Potter walks...
That's the beams that brings them on in.
We'll leave the lights on for you.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, Monica Potter walks... she interrupts some, like, sexual harassment. This old guy is, like, super drunk, and then he's like, come on, Megan, just because we work together. And she's just, the girl looks at Monica Potter like, please help me.
Help me.
And Monica Potter's like, oh, I don't want to be part of this, because she's upset because she overheard Freddie Prinze Jr. being a pig.
Yeah, with the other guys.
These other guys were like, this looked like a Harvey Weinstein party, because these other guys were like,
big time,
look at this model. And
the punch is full of roofies.
Yeah.
They're
like, look at this girl. What'd I tell you? Like, that's what all of the...
Look at the tits on this one. Yeah.
See her. And he's like, oh, look at you. Like, he's being a pig. But, like, it just felt really creepy and weird. And so if I was Monica Potter, I'd be like, I don't want to be here anyway.
Yeah, the party wasn't a place where you'd really want to go unless you were trying to further your career or catch a STD of some kind. Because everyone in this place, every man looked like a sleazeball in this whole place.
It was,
the casting for this must have been amazing.
Yeah.
Get every sleazeball there is in L.A. and bring them all into one room. And let's find like the eight sleaziest guys and we'll make them our team.
So Monica Potter, I don't know why she can't go out the elevator way or whatever, but she ends up leaving the party and she has to go down the stairs. Maybe the elevator was broken.
Yeah, there's no elevator through this whole movie in that building. I don't know what the hell's going on.
No, but their elevator worked fine.
Yeah, that's why I don't know what's going on.
So no wonder he wants to go walk that dog.
He's got asthma. He's always got his fucking inhaler.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. Because we talked it out. We found, we figured out a solution. All right.
Yeah.
So Monica Potter walks out and she like sees Freddie Prinze Jr. and he goes, Amanda? And then she trips and falls down the stairs.
Dude.
And I mean, like, this shit looked like it hurt.
It's not a fall, like a tumble on the side. She is standing straight, falls directly backwards on concrete stairs, and not only falls directly backwards, then fucking tumbles over completely back. I mean, she would have cracked the back of her skull on a stair. She would have died on that on those steps that night.
Yeah.
It would have definitely, or at least an ambulance would have had to drag her out of there.
Yeah, she would have at least need to, like, stay the night at a hospital to make sure that she doesn't have a concussion.
Her skull should have been broken apart.
And
fell
Freddie Prinze
down
just, well,
steep
you know what?
Concrete stairs.
Okay, he
backwards.
Healed her by smiling at her.
Did he even ask if she was all right?
I think he asked, because he went like, ooh, and then he was like, are you okay?
He didn't even get up.
Yeah.
He stayed on the top step and watched as she like popped. Like, he didn't even go down. Oh, my God.
That girl on Below Deck last night when she fell and broke her ass in the
boat.
In the tender.
Yeah.
And she like hurt her wrist. You go, ooh, when you do that. Because you're just like, that's going to hurt.
She fell on an inflatable thing. Yeah. Like, it wasn't that bad.
This is like, you fell on a concrete stair.
Oh, she could have definitely died.
Yeah.
People have died for much less than cracking their skulls over completely backwards.
But it's okay, because he heals her with conversation.
He just says, you okay? She's like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, let me tell you about my problems.
What are you doing here? What? Yeah. What are you doing here? Are you a model? And then he's like, well, what I meant to say is, I hope you're not a model.
Of course.
That's what she's worried about. She's worried about that he only dates models. But you know what?
No, he's deep.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is deep.
He's deep.
And he's like, you know, I'm hoping that you're not a model.
Can't stand. I'm always around these.
Yeah, I'm
models.
Always around these vapid.
You know how
whatever.
It is being around these models.
So yeah, and then not even at the end of it when she leaves, because he asks her to go out or something like that, and then she says yeah, and then he's like, oh no, never mind, I'm busy. But you'd think that like when she's leaving, he'd be like, you sure you're all right?
Yeah, you're positive you didn't crack a rib, puncture a lung, nothing like that.
Yeah,
the way
I get
you
it
felt.
If like you hit your head and then you're talking to somebody and they say, yeah, they're fine, and then you talk to them and they're not slurring their words or anything, so you're like, okay, there's no sign of whatever. But he's like, are you sure you're okay? Like, just you hit your head. Just want to make sure.
As she walked away, as she walked away, he didn't even take a look to see if maybe she had blood pouring out of the back of her fucking skull. That wasn't even a concern.
Yeah,
he just went back in the party.
But this is definitely where I thought, I'm like, okay, maybe this is where it should start with the, because this is a harder head hit, like, so it, and it's also like compounding the first one where she gets the latte knocked out of her. And then this is where, because I just imagined the old ladies telling her to blast her nips before she goes anywhere. Okay,
blast your nips, blast them,
squeeze your,
you gotta squeeze your nips and twist them a bit.
That's what the boys like,
you
honey.
You crank them like you're looking for a UHF station on your old television.
Yeah, so Monica Potter finds him, or no, he chases her down, and he's wheezing because he's got asthma and he's got his inhaler, and he's, I want to go out with you.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he
But then he, I love when she's like, wait, she's like in the lobby of the apartment.
Oh, isn't she?
And then she like looks at herself in the mirror and sees all the makeup on her and like the... the feather boa thing that she has on, and like looks at herself like, this isn't me. And then she just like wipes off her lip gloss. Like, that's the only thing that's different. Like, normally I do this glam, but not this gloss.
Well, she's in her building. Just go upstairs where your makeup wipes are and shit. What are you doing in the fucking lobby starting to wipe your makeup off? No one does that.
Yeah. So he says he does want to go out with her. They kiss. And then she goes upstairs, washes her face, like whatever. Everybody's home from the party. She tells all of her roommates that they kiss. They're getting married, basically.
She's in
like,
love.
Oh, he kissed me. He totally kissed me. Like, they went from not knowing each other to best friends in like a record time.
Oh, it was quick.
Yeah.
It's the whole
thing.
And
she apparently didn't like that they were vapid models, and she didn't like whatever.
Now they're a crew.
Never complains about the living conditions. She's not like, hey guys, this is like a closet with like a cot.
At one point, the one model even says, we rent out the extra closet, bedroom for $500 for our extra spending money. She never complains about shit. That never comes up. They're all best friends.
Yeah.
They got each other's backs. None of these models are even like selfish.
No.
They're like a unit. It's the weirdest
shit.
They
already love her. So they're getting married. So all the girls go change. Because I think they're going to go out later.
Of course.
And then the Australian one just had an eye operation because she blew out her sockets.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
You know how that goes. We're going to have to get those operations.
Soon. It's going to happen because my sockets can only take so much. The strain was pretty bad today. Yeah. If I kept going, if this movie was longer, I would have had eye patches on when it was over.
And then Monica Potter was like... she saw a Freddie Prinze Jr. talking to a girl in the apartment. He closes the blinds.
For once.
And then he beats the shit out of her with a bat.
Yeah, you see like the shadow of him. They do it very noir style. Yeah. Anything where
it's
Freddie...
very like Psycho.
Yeah, from now on, any shot of Freddie Prinze is like in a shadow. Unless he's pooping.
And now his smile...
That's
no,
a different one.
It's still, that's still evil.
That's true. Whatever was coming out of him was
calm.
Evil.
He was too calm.
When he was shitting, I'm like, maybe he's possessed. Maybe that's the problem with him because that's what it seems like.
Yeah. You know, I'm a different person when I'm backed up. All right. So the police are called. They send a police officer over to her apartment, which I had a question about because I thought, so they have like a detective in Freddie Prinze Jr.'s house, and they have a bunch of different officers, and they're looking around the apartment. Wouldn't the detective go, or like a detective also go to Monica Potter's apartment? Like, wouldn't they have?
No, they send like Johnny Beat Cop over there, and he's just like, well, yeah. So what happened? He's like, what happened?
But
you dumb broads.
She's the one that called.
That's what I'm saying. She's the one that brought that called. So they probably
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they?
She's
be like,
at that
hey.
Point a potential witness to a murder. So they'd probably that she already said. So they would
probably
send the detective
see what happened,
over.
And then like send. I don't know.
They'd take her down to the station and take her statement.
That,
they would take her to like the homicide unit. It would be
but
a big
instead,
thing.
Instead, the police officer insults the girls.
Nail polish and lipstick.
Yeah.
He says,
he's saying
and
like
shit.
You guys can't even count that high, and you guys are just a bunch of dumb ladies.
Yeah, he's like, you know, you're fucking stupid, Molly. I'm out of here. Peace. And he's
out. He just thinks that he just dismisses them. They didn't see anything. Like, you guys are just dumb models, and you know, models
well,
are people too.
They don't present themselves well, though. They try.
No,
they
were
really
a bit discombobulated.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know how you would take that statement from them. The fucking Australian girls saying what she saw with patches over her eyes. It's a disaster.
Yeah, so the models go to the art restoration department at the Met to tell Monica Potter to just go out with Freddie Prinze Jr. Because they said that she should just do her own investigation because they were like, yeah, no, he didn't kill that lady, you know, just kind of get over it type thing. And
yeah,
she's frustrated
because
she feels like she doesn't know anything and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's very confused.
Yeah.
So rather than just forget the whole thing, she's like, why don't I investigate him and then decide whether I want to go out with him or not.
But even the old ladies are going in on this, too. They're telling her that she's just going to be old and alone and showing people your cat's birthday videos. And then the other old lady's like, listen.
Yeah.
Those videos are beautiful, and I throw my cat a birthday party, and boy, oh boy, would those ladies be surprised at how sad our life has become.
That's everybody looking
because
at these videos.
Yeah, we're all.
At the time, everyone was like, no one's going to watch anybody's cat's birthday party, but now that's all everybody watches
we're
is people's cat's fucking birthday
parties.
We're
all old and
alone,
and we're all watching each other's cat's
those
birthday videos.
Those ladies were really ahead of their time, honestly, if you think about it.
That's the one thing that Trevor and Travis and whoever the other guy is.
Phil.
Yeah, Phil. And they were like... This is going to get pretty bad.
And I don't get to like the writing for these old ladies is so bad.
Yeah.
Like the attempted humor of these like three amigo
I'm
old lady.
I'm going to have red beans for dinner.
Nothing's better than some like an old lady with some crazy shit to say in a movie. I love that. And they make three old ladies annoying. That's how bad the fucking writing is.
Not to me. I love them.
I hated them.
The one that
said
I'm going to have red beans for dinner.
Ugh, that's so annoying.
And then no.
It was annoying. Why is she Southern? Now
she said we don't know where she came from. We don't
the
know
rest
her
of the movie she doesn't talk like that. Every other
they
line she
talk,
has
she's
doesn't
deaf.
Talk like but she talks all the time. She said I've heard her say about I've only heard every fifth word and blah blah blah. She
but
says that later
over heels.
She didn't say I only heard a fifth word coming out of my ear hole.
You
she didn't
don't
say
know
that.
Her backstory.
That's
so they go to the building maintenance guy for the apartment complex. And they try to go get keys to Freddie Prinze Jr.'s apartment.
Yeah, they're going to break into his apartment.
The Russian one and Monica Potter. And so they both look really hot. And they're like, hey, how's it going? Because they're going to like seduce the maintenance guy.
Yeah, they're
but
like, hey.
Instead, he says that he will trade his keys for her dress.
For her dress.
And then he's like, oh, you're naughty. And like, you know, blah, blah,
hard
blah.
Hard cut
again,
to him in front of the mirror.
15-year-olds wrote this.
Yes. Wouldn't it be funny to have this big fat maintenance guy, this
in
big
leopard,
fat bald maintenance guy wearing
a
little
dress.
Yeah, dancing in front of a mirror. Isn't
but
that hilarious?
He killed it dancing, so I don't care.
I mean, he could have.
It was one of the best parts of the movie. The elevator is broken, so they're all walking up the stairs because the elevator is always broken at their apartment. I
of
think
course.
Just to try to make it go by longer.
I suppose, so they can have shit dialogue on the way up.
They're all looking through the apartment. It's the Russian girl, the Australian girl, the brunette photographer one, and Monica Potter. And then they left the Stanford model back at the apartment, at their apartment, and she's lookout.
She's overseeing from the window, making sure that everything's going well.
So we do another incest joke that nobody cares about because Freddie Prinze Jr. is on his way up the stairs and he's got his inhaler and he's
honking on it. Yeah.
And then he's going in there and the other girl's trying to like, hey, you know. Like,
show. Right. Oh, he's
coming. So she threw like an apple or a pear.
It was a kiwi.
Oh, it was a kiwi.
Because even the Australian girl went, oh, a kiwi.
Okay. Yeah. And so she threw a kiwi at the window. Great arm.
That perfect.
I don't
Nailed
know
it.
How far that.
I don't think it was that far,
is.
But the accuracy of it was the impressive part.
And then I don't know why they didn't like open the windows to try to see what she's shouting at them, but instead they're playing charades. And she's like, no props and no clothes and charades. That's Uncle Pete's rules. Yuck.
Oh, gosh.
So Jim, Freddie Prinze Jr. is in the hallway. Everybody's got to hide. Monica Potter went and hid under the desk in the main area of the apartment.
In a really convoluted fucking position. Like she's pressed up like a spider.
She could have just done like a George Costanza and just sat underneath the desk. But no, she has to. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got like her arms out, her legs out. Yeah.
The other three went into the bathroom and they went into the shower. And this is where we meet our second type of diarrhea, which is casual. Diarrhea.
This is like, he's on the phone.
He's on the phone talking about, I had to eat some more pierogies, but the meeting went well. You know how it goes, like whatever.
And this is the fun. He doesn't hang up the phone and immediately run to the bathroom like he has this giant impending shit.
And then he's like,
he hangs up and acts like he might go to the door to leave. And then he's like, hold on a minute. Like maybe I got to take a leak like that quick. Yeah, I'll just piss before I go. And then.
So he whistles to go over to the bathroom.
Whoa.
And then he sits down. Like, so you can hear him pull, like, cause you see the girls in the shower and they're just looking around like what's going to happen. So you hear the lid go up and then we see him sitting down on the toilet where he flips the tie up and then he's
keep
just
it out
sitting
of his
there.
Soup there.
The poop soup. He's reading the paper, I guess. And then you just start to hear
him reads the paper.
Blow up the toilet.
I mean, it's like a couple of poop
He's
poops.
He's painting the bowl.
And a fart.
But it's not even like drop, drop. It's immediately.
Well, first there's like, no, at first it's like bloop, bloop.
No, it's immediately
diarrhea. And then it's just like, like it sounds like there's an avalanche coming down a fucking mountain into a lake. Dumb and dumber shit. And I'm talking fucking farts from.
The inside of the bowl is completely painted.
And then you're just here, and the water, like it's like Saving Private Ryan when they're like bullets hitting the fuck, in the water. It's fucking gross.
The girls are holding that. They're like climbing the walls.
I mean, he is ripping it and it's just straight. He doesn't even take like a breath and like get his strength back up and take another push. It's just coming, man.
And he's just sitting there. His face is not red.
No. He's just like, so the Knicks won last night looking at the paper and you're like, what the fuck? Bro, you need to concentrate on this hard. You got a problem.
He had said on the phone, like,
make sure
I had to eat pierogies at lunch. You know what those pierogies do to my stomach?
Yeah, that would have been, that's exactly right. But instead, he just like, he doesn't even check to make sure his liver didn't fall out in there afterwards or anything. Did I lose? Is there an organ in here? I feel like I might have lost part of my large intestine.
Oh my God. It was so bad. And it's so funny. It's easily the funniest part of the whole movie because it's poop. And he's so casual about it. And also, good thing he was home.
That's what I'm saying.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. But he was about to leave with that locked fucking in the chamber. And then he was like, I'll drop a load. Let me drop one. Let me drop a deuce real quick. And he fucking runs in there and it's like, what? You didn't feel that? Like, that should have been before you made a phone call. That's your number one priority when you walk in the door. That should have been.
What if he hurried him off the phone? He's like, the meeting went really well. I gotta go.
His keys should have been shaky outside. He should have been outside the door. Jingle, trying him again. That's what I mean, trying to get it into the lock.
Up the stairs, so that's definitely shaking it loose.
And then he should have done like
I can't lift my leg up anymore because it's going to come out.
And then he should have short strided all the way to the fucking bathroom. Just, oh boy, I got to get there on his tippy toes. You know, like Fred Flintstone used to run, just like one of those. That's how it should have been.
That should have been the end of the movie.
And he's
there's
just
nothing
like,
funnier
let
than
me
that.
Drop that.
And then he just, washes his hands and then, just leaves for the rest of the day. So he only came home, presumably, to make a phone call and take a shit. That's what it seemed like.
That's
it seemed like it was a planned shit.
Yeah, and he was just, drop this deuce.
Now they know how to open the window because they open up the bathroom window to get some fresh air. And the girls say if he didn't wash his hands, this investigation would be over. Like, he would definitely be a murderer because he's disgusting.
Yeah.
He shows up. Freddie Prinze Jr. shows up at the Met to the restoration department, whatever the fuck they work in. And he brought her flowers. She's kind of like creeped out by it because she still thinks that he might be a murderer.
Yeah. How do you know where I work?
Oh, yeah, because the Russian girl found those cheese daggers.
How'd you get in here? Yeah, that's
the other
thing.
But I really wanted a cheese plate when I watched that. That always makes me want a cheese plate.
Yeah, I kind of
Well, when do I not want cheese. A cheese plate?
I was
going to
say,
what
doesn't make you want a cheese
okay.
plate?
So the investigation continues, and it's really just a montage to see how we can get these like finicky models to do stuff like going in the subway, and they're like grossed out by it.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that this is still poignant in 2020. That they take a Purell bath after they leave.
Yeah, they
the subway.
That's what's
and I was yeah. like. Oh yes.
Yeah, smart ladies.
Smart ladies ahead of our time.
Yeah. By the way, Sarah keeps snacking cheese in the house. So just so you know.
No, I don't keep it in the house because they don't have it.
Well, they don't have it in the
they
exact
don't have the
packaging that you like anymore.
That I want.
But
no.
She'll make her own package of snacking cheese and put it
it's
together, and she'll snack
as
on cheese.
Good.
She still snacks on cheese. Is what
yes,
I'm getting at. It's
pretty not
cool.
as good. I take a slice of cheese and I eat it, and it makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, a slice is.
I eat one slice of cheese.
At a time, yes. I've never seen her shove like five
yeah,
in her mouth at
like
once.
Maybe once a day.
Some cheese?
Yeah.
What about when they're snacking cheese?
Maybe two, because they're half a slice, so mm-hmm. it equals one whole slice.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
I love this cheese.
Snacking cheese is good, and it's a good snack.
I love
snack.
Snacking
Sometimes
cheese.
Sometimes if I'm in a bad mood, it's like my Snickers. I eat a slice of cheese, and then I'm happy.
It's wonderful.
And I don't need to defend myself.
Who's saying it's anything bad?
James,
I love
makes
cheese.
Fun of me. He's like, don't you want bread? I'm like, no, I don't.
Well,
want
that's because you'll put mustard on it, and that's a whole other issue. She'll put mustard on a piece of cheese and eat it.
It's good.
And fold it up, and I'm like, now you got mustard leaking out
yeah.
of the sides.
No, it's never leaking out.
The logistics
out.
Of this are just
no,
not working for me.
It's never leaking out.
Let
okay.
me get you bread. Okay.
We are stalking Freddie Prinze Jr.
All right, so Molly and the models.
They are all wearing gowns.
Yes.
All of them are wearing a gown.
Gown time.
They look very nice. We see the guy who plays Smee from Hook.
Oh, is that who he is? Yeah, that's who he is.
And he
yeah.
is apparently the Russian pierogi crime boss.
Oh, he's the, yeah, he's something shady with him, boy.
He had, Freddie Prinze Jr. presumably had pierogies with this man.
I guess so. Shit-inducing pierogies.
Otherwise, we don't know who, maybe he did it on purpose. Okay.
Oh, he poisoned Prinze.
Yeah. He poisoned him. So the guy, so Monica Potter gets the, she goes to the maintenance guy and she gets the key to Freddie Prinze Jr.'s storage space. What are the chances? Freddie Prinze Jr. also went to the storage space.
Same time.
And he went and got something. She thought it was a body. She thought he was going to, you know,
it's
bury.
It's a big, long duffel bag that
and
he throws over his shoulder with
and,
some, you
yeah.
know, effort.
And so he goes out in the middle of a field somewhere and he's going to, you know, dig a grave, presumably.
Well, first, he says he's going the Central Park because she's on the cell phone like following yeah. him in a cab, and she calls him and she calls her friends there and she's like, he's going to Central Park, the perfect place to bury a body. No it's not. You go
There's
out of the city
of
to
there.
Fucking bury a body. You don't go to Central fucking Park to bury
but
a body.
She's from Iowa.
I guess there's grass
so
there,
know.
But that's not a place to bury
so,
anybody.
We find out that he coaches a little league team. The
yes.
Friends all say,
yeah,
like,
he's fucking, yeah. yeah, lights come on and kids bum
My
rush him.
My question is, he has a big enough apartment. Why didn't he just leave the Little League shit there?
I don't know. I guess
it's
he wants it to
apartment.
Be clean. He wants it to be clean. Is that
you
part of his
it.
Is that part of his act, too, the Little League kids, or does he just do that anyway? Do
yeah,
they call him Jim?
I don't know if that's if he's coached Jim. Yeah, we have no idea.
We have no clue. I'm sorry.
The models all say, please just stop investigating him. Go out with him. Like, you know, he sounds like he's a nice guy. We see the pierogi crime boss, and he goes to go visit Monica Potter, and he goes to her apartment. He shows her a painting that he wants to be restored, and
turn
like,
of the century Russian
yeah.
shit. I don't know.
And she's like, oh, it's turn of the century Russian. There's bullet holes in it. He says that animals,
mice
ate it, and it, no. Oh, a mouse ate it in a perfect hole punch.
yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And she said very neat mice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but she wasn't like, oh, they're bullets. She doesn't realize that until later because she's from Iowa.
When she sees bullet holes, like she's never seen a bullet hole before.
So conveniently, the models are working at this runway job that they see Freddie Prinze Jr. at, and they're like, they overhear a conversation, or one of them overhears a conversation where he's saying that he doesn't know where Megan is.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Like somebody asked, like, hey, have you seen Megan in a while? Like, and he's like, no, you know, I don't know where she is. And then it's too late. Monica Potter can't back out now. She's got to go on the date with Freddie Prinze Jr. So she goes on the date. They order everything on the dessert menu. And Freddie Prinze Jr. looks at her and he goes, do you realize that every time that you took a bite of something, you made a little noise, but like not like a, it was like a,
yeah.
Ew. Yeah, creepy. Was, please don't comment and make me self-conscious about how I fucking eat.
She was very embarrassed about the whole thing. And,
yeah. What the fuck?
It was creepy, but that's supposed to be like,
that's like your shit with the cheese and the mustard right now. You're fucking gaslighting me about it.
I'm not gaslighting you. It's hilarious. That's a gaslighting. You put a fucking mustard on cheese and eat it, and I laugh at it because it's hilarious, and I love that you like cheese. Because
I
like cheese. I know. I think it's awesome.
Okay. So then he also says that he wishes that he could freeze this moment and hold on to it.
Yeah.
And I want to melt it. It's, I want to make it blow out of your butthole just like your diarrhea did, my man. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I... And when they leave, I thought they leave before the desserts come. They leave abruptly, and I'm like, oh, he must have to shit again.
Yeah.
That's what I honestly thought. Yeah. I was like, oh, man.
So the models are there. They're trying to like see how the date goes because they are pretty sure that he actually maybe did murder the Megan girl. So then they go to the thing, and then they're like, oh, shit. That he's walking this way toward the bathroom, so they go in the bathroom, but he's just gonna go in the men's room, but he's just gonna go use the phone. So they're hiding in this stall, and they're all four standing on this toilet seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is
and
ridiculous.
This is where we get the
this is
fake
the...
diarrhea.
Wow.
So these two guys come in there after Freddie Prinze Jr. goes to the phone, and these two like plumbers go in there.
They put like an out of order sign in front of the bathroom.
Yeah, they put an out of order out in front of the bathroom because they don't see anybody going in there, so whatever. So now the girls are like, oh shit, he's in the bathroom and he's going to have diarrhea.
More shits, yeah.
Great. We have to prepare ourselves because it lasts a long time.
It's going to keep coming. We saw him eat dinner. It was not pretty.
Yeah, and I was just like, I felt bad for Freddie Prinze Jr. at first when I thought he was going to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh geez, again? Like, I'm like, this poor guy, he doesn't, you know, he has to learn to live his life.
Can't breathe. He can't keep shit inside of him. He's got a lot of problems.
Like, oh, God. But anyway, so the guys, the plumbers are like, they're making these like Austin Powers, like vaguely sexual things. So the girls think that these two dudes are like having sex with each other in the bathroom because you walked outside because... They're like,
oh, no, I saw it. Yeah, I heard the whole thing.
And he's like, oh, this is bigger
like
than I thought
snake,
it was.
Yeah, going yeah. And they're like, oh, man, oh, well, I've stuck it in a tighter hole than that before.
Yeah.
Hold on, don't get behind me so much.
Okay, you went outside for around this area.
Yeah.
So that's, okay, that's good. I'm glad that you heard that.
It was fucking gross.
Because they just assumed he was having some casual going out diarrhea.
And they're also like, these two guys are like, yeah, no, hey, oh, God, hey, what are you doing? Oh, gee,
get
it. I mean, they're like,
they said, all right, whip that bad boy out.
Yeah. And they just, I mean, and then when they're doing it too, they're like, oh, God, oh, gee, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're snaking a toilet. What are you screaming about? I've never
and
heard
what
anyone
do they serve at this restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't want to go here.
What is happening? And then it happens.
Yeah. So anyway, while we cut to Freddie Prinze Jr. on the phone,
yeah.
And he's like, if he wants a body, I'll give him a goddamn body. Oh, right, because I forgot that the pierogi guy sees that you can see Freddie Prinze Jr.'s apartment from Monica Potter's apartment.
Yes, yeah.
So apparently he wants to see a body because he knows that Monica Potter fraternizes with Freddie Prinze Jr. So he's trying to, I guess, see if Freddie Prinze Jr. is cool.
This is all part of the stupid plot.
So I guess. Yeah. So he's like, if he wants a body, I'll give him a goddamn body. And he slams down the phone just casually at a public restaurant.
Yeah,
like
obviously.
Whatever. And anyway, here it comes. Since they're snaking out the toilet and like all of the plumbing, like the pipes all start shaking and they're making this weird noise. And then they look down and the models all look down into the toilet and all the water goes away and then just shit sprays everywhere.
But we're not talking like a squirt of shit. We're talking
like a geyser.
It's a geyser propelled from the depths of hell. That's just the I don't know what the pressure amount behind it is, but I mean it shoots to the ceiling and mushrooms down upon them like a fucking rainstorm of shit. It's insane.
It was
the pressure behind it. I mean, I can't imagine what would cause that kind of thrust. The shit to fly, to soar directly against gravity, mind you, just shooting into the air.
It looked like it was such a high pressure
that
it would go through the ceiling.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It didn't.
It looked like it took plaster out with it when it hit the ceiling.
It didn't. And then, I don't know. I guess I had more of an interest in figuring out how you would clean that place.
It's over, man.
not good plumbers.
No, that was that's what
the
they
toilet so much that
so
you
hard
sprayed poop everywhere.
Yeah, all over these models who okay. now their life is ruined by poop.
So that's there. We had again. We had word diarrhea. We have casual diarrhea, and now we have surprise fake diarrhea.
This is a hardcore diarrhea.
Now we go to a cheesy aquarium scene where, you know, they're in the dark and Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, close your eyes.
Oh, this is the worst.
And you know he's smiling when he says it. Well, close your eyes.
He's like, such a nice guy.
Why?
That Freddie Prinze.
And then he turns the lights on and she's not like worried, like, where are you going? What's happening? Like anything like that. And then it turns out that they're at the aquarium. Mm-hmm. She calls him Mr. Fish Tank and blah, blah, blah. So then they're kissing. Yeah. They start kissing on the way to the apartment up the stairs. God, that'd be a long. I would not be sucking face with somebody and walking upstairs like 20 flights of stairs at the same time.
Yeah. I know.
I gotta have some oxygen here, and like I have to have oxygen for like a while after this.
We're gonna have to reel this all in.
They're making out and they're taking each other's shirts off and everything like that, and he says, I know this doesn't sound the most guy thing to say, but are we moving too fast?
Yeah, are we moving too fast?
Oh, God. So then she's like, no, like, I feel like I know you. And she does this whole thing. So I don't know if these guys are like, if these four guys who are writing it, they're like, yeah, girls are pretty horned up too, bro. Like, she wants to fucking do this. And,
well,
you know,
she knows him more than he knows her. Yeah. That's why, because she's been stalking.
You don't even know me. It's like, this girl's taking advantage of him.
Well, yeah, I thought it was more like, I thought that was him, like, feeling guilty because he's lying to her. That's
and then, oh, yeah, okay, that's a good point.
That was.
And then, so she talks him into, it's fine, we can do this because, you know, you look at people on a deeper level.
Yeah, I see you, whatever and the fuck bullshit she said.
He says, well, I've been wanting to do this since Hamlet first drooled on you. And she's like, me too.
Yeah.
And then he goes, do you believe in love at first sight? And she's like, no, I think it's about looking at something deeper.
Boom, bone zone.
And then
right from there, they are.
All right.
So getting down.
The models are at home and they are in their apartment. They have closed off their list for the night. They don't want anybody because they just got sprayed.
They all smell like shit, they keep saying. You smell like poop and you smell like poop, they keep saying. Which is amazing. By the way,
they're all in their robes.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I love them.
They forget to close the blinds. Yeah. Forget to
Monica
close the
Potter
curtains.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. forget to close the curtains. So the models all watch them have sex.
And apparently, Molly Parker is a
Monica
fucking,
Potter is apparently so good
she's
at
a
sex.
Goer. I mean, they're like, I want to take notes. And he's like, holy shit, what'd you do with your back on that
and
thing?
And
I'm like,
I'm going to have a new religion. And it's going to be called Amandaism.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, like, oh, wow, that was amazing. And it makes it seem
Does
like
that
they,
character seem like she'd throw down like that? I'm going to be honest with you here.
But she, I don't know if she would have anybody. I mean, I guess the guy would have to be a real pig. But you think that she'd be like, I don't get it. I'm pretty bomb in the sack and nobody wants to stay with me.
That's what I'm saying, too. Like, that's the other thing. All these guys are always leaving
her.
Meanwhile, she's like,
she's
fucking
pretty. She's got blonde hair. She has blue eyes. She has nice lips. Whatever. She's got a pretty decent bod.
I don't know. She's fine.
She
I
doesn't
guess.
Wear clothes that is very flattering for her. In
it's
this
2000,
movie, but,
2001.
But she looks great.
No one did.
She's pretty hot. So you're just
she's
all right.
Fine. I don't know.
Yeah. And then she's just like, apparently she's a
fucking superstar. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Where the fuck they pulled that out of? It's just a weird
she's
character.
She's a girl
thing.
Next door from the Midwest. She's quiet. And she's good at art. And she's always been wronged. And then it's like, well, I throw down.
She fucks like she's in a porn. It's crazy.
Yeah,
what happened?
Yeah.
Anyway, Molly's crazy. Molly's got a second career if she wants one.
I mean, apparently she does.
I mean, if she gets tired of curating or restoring art pieces in this film.
He tells her that he has a secret thing that he knows how to do. He takes his cheese daggers and he throws it and he kills that fly.
Yes.
And
he's
like, I missed. Ha ha ha. And then the camera shows that he nailed a fly.
Yeah, he hit a fly
with the dagger,
up in the upper corner
like,
of the
dun dun dun.
Oh, it's an assassin.
He's a murderer. But like he had a bat, so obviously since he's good with knives, it means that he would kill somebebody. It's fine.
Yeah, but no, he beat them with a bat to death.
She goes
sense.
Back to the apartment and she's dancing and singing and blah blah blah. And the Russian model says, darling, after that performance, I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And then she says, I just wanted to let you guys know that I banged him, obviously, since you saw, and that we're gonna go out of town together and he has something very important to tell me. And she's like excited that he's gonna tell her something important. Like, wouldn't that make your bowels just go, uh oh.
Yeah, what's important? We just got together and fucked once. There's nothing important.
I would be like, what does that mean?
Know.
You have something important you want to tell me that you have a kid? Like,
yeah, if it's got to be about him,
you're
something
gonna go
important.
Out of town
otherwise,
for 6 weeks, you're moving. Yeah. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, I would be nervous about it.
Yeah, what's the deal here? Who are you?
And then the girls, the models say, congratulations, you bagged him. It's like, no, girls don't say that. Like,
well, I think because it was such a long operation, maybe.
I guess, yeah.
I guess that was more of like a, oh,
but
finally.
But then here's another weird thing that women don't say. One of the models says, now we're all beachfront properties in the Hamptons, but soon we will be apartments in New Jersey.
Yeah. While true, women
nobody
don't say
that
out loud.
Themselves. They well, might. Nobody says that about
no,
themselves.
No, that's what I mean. No one would
like,
say
men
that.
Don't say that.
No, no one would say that, but that's something that you would think inside.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say that
you wouldn't
out loud.
Tell everyone that. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say out loud. But I mean, they're like
Monica,
I said, no filters in this movie.
Nope,
just comes
only
out.
Text. Yeah. Monica Potter is walking around because she's waiting. They're supposed to go out of town to the Hamptons. Or no, where are they going?
I don't remember.
But they're
somewhere.
Going. They're supposed
Who
to go
cares?
Out of town, so she is meeting up with Freddie Prinze Jr. wherever he's supposed to meet her. And while we are walking, and on the way there, she sees a newspaper front page of the news. Garment executive body is found, so she sees that Megan girl has actually been killed.
Yeah, the one that she thought that Freddie Prinze Jr. killed.
So she drops by to see him wherever he is. She sees him with Smee, and she's like, what's going on with this body that I'm seeing on the front page news? And what are you doing with this man who I'm restoring a painting for?
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
Smee puts a gun to the back, and then Freddie Prinze Jr. immediately, you know, takes him down. He takes his knives and he pins down.
He whips them out of his sleeve like an old timey gunslinger would have, like a derringer up his sleeve, like a little arrangement in case somebody cheats him in a card game. That's how he whips out daggers and throws them at people.
He throws them at the one guy and it pins him by his arm up against the door. So he's completely immobile and like frozen up against the wall. And then the other guy gets pinned to the wall right after that, which it's funny because it's like you just watched him pin that guy.
He just stood there still holding a gun in his hand, by the way.
I guess I'll wait for my turn.
Yeah. Hope he misses me with the knife so I can shoot him.
So he, Freddie Prinze Jr. stuffs Monica Potter into the car and he tells her that he is an FBI agent. He doesn't have a badge. He's undercover.
It's the whole reveal
and
here.
Him and the blonde lady are FBI agents and Megan's cover got blown.
Yep.
So he had to stage a killing in order to
convince
that
guy
about how he's, you know, she's not... whatever, blah, 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 that he's reliable.
Ugh.
And so she's, I love how she's like breaking his balls and she's like, well, how does he make his money? And how does he do this? And like, because he's explaining,
oh,
like,
Jesus, I
this
forgot
guy,
about this whole part.
This guy finds young, rich people like me and he has he imports all these diamonds in from Antwerp and whatever.
Dresses so at the time, not diamonds, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, dresses. And then, so she's like, well, how does he make the money? And he's like, well, I was just about to find that out before you showed up and blew my cover. And then she says, like, I was only early because I wanted to see you and I was so excited for our weekend away. And he's just like, No, you fucked up my whole thing here.
Not to mention men are shooting at them, apparently, by the way.
Yeah.
Shots fired
into the
car.
And what is he going to write in his paperwork? Like, sorry, I fucked this up. My girlfriend surprised me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that goes.
So anyway, then they're arguing outside and she sees all these bullet holes in the car and she's like, oh my God, that Russian painting had bullet holes in it. It's like, oh yeah, no, it wasn't from mice. Anyway,
very symmetrical mice.
She mentions that he's come over to her house, the Smee guy, and he's like, so he came over to your house? And she goes, yeah. And she's like, are you saying that my roommates are in danger? And then what he does to signify
that
he's stressed out is that he puffs on his inhaler.
Oh, yeah.
But I really wish that his stomach would, like, gurgle. Like, he's got his shit.
Franny's got the inhaler, and he's like, oh, God. Cut to him on the toilet using the inhaler. Like,
right. Yeah. The roommates are in danger. The guys go over to their house, and they kidnap them, and all of them are handcuffed. With this, like, what is that called?
What?
A thing of dresses. They're handcuffed to a rack of dresses. We find out that Freddie Prinze Jr.'s real name is Bob Smoot, which, again, worst name. They discover that it is that the reason why they're doing this is because it's they're smuggling diamonds.
Diamonds are all in the dresses,
and they are Freddie Prinze Jr. very weirdly, aggressively, like starts like biting at Monica Potter's vagina area on this dress.
Yeah,
he's like growling like a dog.
He's like trying to like bite one of these diamonds off a dress.
The Russian model goes, "Ooh, Smoot is kinky."
Yeah, he's fucking eating her with his teeth.
And like he would break his tooth if that was a real diamond.
Well, he'd say right? He chipped his tooth pulling it off.
Well,
he said a rhinestone, then, I would have crushed it.
And
I just chipped my tooth.
He healed himself with his smile.
Well, he's like, it's such a,
hey Freddie, how you doing?
It's an electric
okay?
smile. I mean, that's
you
what
okay?
happens. Yeah, Freddie.
You
babe.
Okay? How's your tooth? You all right?
He's doing good.
Okay. So anyway, they sneak their way into a limousine. I love, by the way, that he ripped off, like he pulled a dress and she's like, wait, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, this is for evidence. And then one of the other models rips off a sleeve and she's like, tennis bracelet. And he's just like, cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Go ahead. Just, you can just, that's
might
fine.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dresses are covered in diamonds. And that's the whole thing is they import these dresses covered in Russian diamonds.
Because you can't bring Russian diamonds.
Replace them with rhinestones.
Yeah. So they sneak their way into this limousine where this guy who runs a fashion show is conveniently in it. And he's like, oh, all of my models quit on me today. And they're like, we're models. And
yeah,
he's
they
like,
all the flu.
Oh,
yeah.
Your models with attitude.
Top designer, by the
yeah,
way, they're
top
saying.
Designer.
Oh, he's got the best runway yeah. show there is.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. is just on the phone with his boss, like arguing about. And he's like, my cover was blown. I lost the guy. It's okay.
At
I'm
one
on
point he
way.
Goes, of course I lied to her.
Yeah. Like it's and then, yeah. And he goes, he's like, because Monica Potter showed up because we were supposed to go on vacation. Of course I lied to her. Of course I didn't tell her who I was. And then she's like all butthurt about it. I'm like, yeah. Did you want him to tell his
You knew
boss?
This part already.
You fucked up his job here.
Yeah.
And like any other movie, like in Miss Congeniality, anybody would be like, that guy, he would be like, you need to turn in your badge and your gun if
yeah.
you go and do this independent of like whatever. And he's like, of course. I'm going to go to this fashion show. Believe me. Just trust me.
Trust me.
And then he hangs up the phone and it's like, okay, so I guess his boss trusts him because
Must
he
be.
Wasn't like, I could lose my job for this. Like he never mentions
no.
that. He's just like, you got to trust me.
That's what he tells everybody.
And then they run in there. All the girls are getting, they
oh,
run in the fashion show.
Jesus,
they're all
yeah,
getting you know,
movie.
Made up
God.
For it. The Russian thugs are there also with Smee and they're at the fashion show. They're supposed to, they get direct orders from Smee to bring Monica Potter and Freddie Prinze Jr. to him.
Yes. Don't,
so,
and to not to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah, and don't draw attention. So there's these two like 6 foot six guys, very menacing looking.
Russian thugs busting into
and
the dressing
only,
room.
There's only women running around in gowns or people running around in like, you know, normal people clothes and they're trying to like, come over here, like let me fit you in this.
It's hairstylists.
Hair yeah.
yeah.
And so, yeah, no, whatever. But anyway, Monica Potter just gets up and starts running away. Doesn't scream like, help, help,
Nothing.
Help.
Nope.
She didn't get any instructions to be quiet and don't make
no.
a spectacle of it.
She should be like, hey, help me, somebody.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing hair while two giant yeah. thugs chase a woman.
And nobody's like looking around like,
yeah,
okay.
what the fuck, dude?
Like when she gets out of the chair, they're kind of like, okay,
yeah.
I guess. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But anyway, so she stumbles her way out to the runway. And so she's out there. Of course, she falls and flat on her face again.
Yeah.
Head injury. And then Freddie Prinze Jr. is in the back and he starts fighting with one of the Russian guys right in the middle of everything. And nobody stops what they're doing to see one guy beating the hell out of the other
guy. And they're wailing on each other. Fucking
they're just
punches
like,
full
okay,
blown.
Okay, here we go. We're doing the smoky eye here. Like, whatever. And then Monica Potter sees the Smee guy in the front row. She's like terrified. She runs and she turns around and runs because he very like takes the program and
yeah,
like,
down from
down
his face. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
And stares at her and she's like, oh my God.
she
and
does
then
it. He
they
does
go,
it like a child.
They go to go out on the runway. The Russian guys, like the thugs, they go to go out on the runway and he like is wearing a cloak, one of these guys.
Yeah, he so just puts like a robe over him.
It's like, this is weird, but he has a suit on and then he just puts this like robe over him, which makes him look even scarier.
Even weirder.
Not even like he belongs in the fashion show. Just like, why do you have that black robe on?
Yeah.
But anyway, so then two of the models, they tackle him and they beat the hell out of him. And then Monica Potter somehow ends up on Smee's shoulders. and the dress is over it, and she's like holding on to his head, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, "Do you trust me?" And it was like a Titanic moment because, but I was sad because Monica Potter didn't say like, "I trust you."
Yeah.
Like Kate Winslet does, but that's fine.
Pull your hand away.
And so then he punches the dude right in the face, so.
Yeah, and then the guy pops her right off of him.
That would hurt her vagina.
It looked
a
like
lot.
He punched her right in the vagina, which was pretty funny.
Well, especially if he's punching him with all amusing. The force, and that
yeah,
his head
it
is right
drove
there.
His head back into her business, which is a problem.
Munched and punched.
Munched and punched, babes. That's how it works.
Okay. So anyway, all five of the girls get FBI commendations because the one police officer that took the report for the murder is the police officer that shows up at this scene. And he's like, "I should have known that some stupid fashion thing would have you guys be involved."
The and only police officer
yeah,
in New York.
The only one on scheduled, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I got to police this whole city on my own. You think I have time for this?
Yeah.
Everybody. They all call me. There's no one else.
Look at the bags under my eyes.
Look at me.
Yeah. That's why they don't even have me drive because I'm so tired.
I'm exhausted.
Because I'm always the one that's answering every single call.
Jesus.
So anyway, he's there talking again, mad smack to these girls about like how stupid they are and like whatever. And then the FBI guy comes over and he's like, "I'm giving you guys all commendations from the director of the FBI." And they're like, "Yeah, check it out. We got commendations from the FBI, bitch." Like,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he's,
whatever.
Of course, sufficiently
so
chastened.
He's like,
yeah. And walks away.
Whatever. And Freddie Prinze Jr. talks to Monica Potter and was like, "Listen, I like you as Jim Winston, but I also like you as Bob Smoot." She tells him to go fuck his mother in no uncertain terms. She doesn't actually say that, but I would have loved that. She was like, "Yeah, cool. Like, I just don't know who you are. I don't trust you." She ends up putting Freddie Prinze Jr. face in the canvas of the painting. Her coworker and the Australian model are now going out. And so Monica says that she wants to rub him out of the painting because she doesn't know if his face fits in there. And I was like, okay, 15-year-old boy. And then she thinks that he is at the aquarium and it's not him. And then she's walking with her white pants and she gets assaulted by the dog. Again, but almost, because now she's quick enough to,
moves out of the way. The dog is injured, clearly.
The dog is thrashing around in the garbage cans, like yelping
whining
and whelping and whatever,
yeah.
And then just silence. Nobody cares about the dog.
Nope, dog
Nobody
disappeared.
Goes to go, like, because then it just cuts to them in his new apartment in the same building. And
no
I was like, wait, what happened to Hamlet?
He's running down Fifth Avenue
Tell
as
me
we
about
speak.
Hamlet.
Tackling
I want
people.
To adopt Hamlet if he's not okay. Hamlet. Anyway, so he got a new apartment. I think he got a new desk job, so he doesn't have to be undercover anymore.
He's got a promotion.
He still works with the FBI.
Big promotion.
And his new apartment is overlooking her old apartment.
Yes.
They both get weak in the knees when they, hug each other or whatever. And she says, like, "See what I mean?" And she said it like, "You've been making fun of me, you asshole. And, you know, now you have these weak in the knees things." And he's like, "Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I really got to get my knees checked." They kiss in the window. As they're kissing in the window, they shut the blinds.
No.
Thank God.
No
but
more.
It does end on the most embarrassing line in the world where he says, it's a voiceover. "Hey, can you do that thing with your back?" An embarrassing finish. It's over.
Gross. Thank fuck it's over.
It's over. The Good only God. Place to go, James. The one place that we want to go.
Where can we
is
go?
To the Heigl Meter.
To the Heigl Meter.
The Heigl Meter is our unit of measurement system, the way we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the most punishing movie you've ever... No. Right?
Yeah, five is the worst.
Five
one
is the most
that
punishing
bad.
Movie you've ever seen in your entire life. One, not that bad. James, I will let you go first.
Okay. I'm going to keep it simple this week because my formulas have been a little convoluted lately, and that's fine. But this week, it's a shit movie. It's very simple. I wanted to give it 5 Heigls,
okay?
Straight 5. But then I decided to take one away for the fact that it's actually under 90 minutes, which is a huge plus. So then we go to 4, and I said that's actually appropriate because there's 4 idiot writers that wrote this pile of shit. Every group that she goes around is a group of 4. It's the 3 old ladies and her her lesbian friend. Oh. It's the four models. It's groups of four. So for every group of four in this movie, four Heigls, go fuck yourselves.
I wonder if there is a message with the fours that we are supposed to
I'm not getting it,
decode.
But
decode.
Just every different group has four.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
I think they represent the writers, maybe.
Yeah. I'm just going to give it. I'm going to give it negative a million Heigls.
What?
I love this movie.
Oh,
I think
my
it's
God.
So entertaining.
Jesus.
It's so dumb. It's so bad. I love it so much. I'm going to have red beans
oh,
for
my
dinner.
God.
There are so many lines that I say all
oh,
the time.
No.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is just the diarrhea scene gets me every time I can watch it. Every time and laugh just as hard.
If I ever see another frame of this movie, I'm going to hunt Molly Parker down and kick her right in the fucking head. I swear to God.
Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Follow us on social media. We're at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We do our bonuses episodes on Patreon every other week.
Yes.
Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. YOUGOTHEIGLD. We have done a couple of episodes of Plotsy where we guess
those are fun
movies that we've never seen before. So we look at just by looking at the poster, and it's pretty awful.
We'll make our own plots up.
I'm not good at it. Neither is James, and he'll say that he is, but he's not.
No.
A lot of people get stabbed in James.
Well,
movies.
I mean, a lot of people get stabbed in the world. That's
I
what
mean,
it is.
He's not wrong.
You know what I'm saying?
But we also
hold
talk
the mirror
about
up to society. That's
some
all I'm
90
doing.
Day Fiance, and like we said earlier
different
in the episode,
reality shows, all sorts of shit.
Yeah, like I said, like we said earlier in the episode, this week we're gonna play a little, build your own rom com.
It's a choose your own rom com adventure.
Yeah. So we're
choose your own characters and
we
everything.
We haven't come up with a name to the game. We just thought that it would kind of be funny.
It's gonna be fun.
And then also at some point we will have to talk about. Below Deck.
Yes, Below Deck, which is our new favorite.
Our new favorite show.
Yeah.
If you liked this show, if you like the podcast itself, you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars if you like it. If you don't like it, just don't worry about it. Just keep it's all good.
It helps.
There are tons of things that I don't like in this world, and I just don't mention it unless it's actually costing
relevant.
Me money. But anyway, if you want to talk to me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIG. Nope, that's not what mine is.
No, that is the show.
Wow, I just went in straight into autopilot. My Twitter, Instagram is at Sarah H is funny, S-A-R-A-H, H is funny. Again, my name is Sarah.
Yeah.
And my Twitter and Instagram is at Sarah H is funny. S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. I have 2 books out on Amazon. They are Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, and Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. And oh my God, I'm so sick and tired of talking about myself.
Yes.
We also have merch. Heigledyourself.threadless.com.
Do that.
Or look at it in the show description. Oh my God, James, make me stop talking. What
stop talking. Oh, just
you.
Listen to Small Town Murder on Thursdays, Crime and Sports on Tuesdays, and keep doing this. And you know what else they can do?
Well, no, because we have to tell them who's nice. And
oh, yes,
donated.
We have a list of good people. Sorry. Know that. Do the good list of good people
and
before
some people
we
decided
everyone.
To listen to your bad advice, and they fucking did disgusting names. And I'm sorry, because you think that you're aggravating, but you have never dealt with me. So I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
Excellent.
All right. Elizabeth Burr Jones.
Okay.
And then there's also Smit and Swallow. Justin. There's only... this is not good, because there's only one partial vowel. It's
okay.
A sometimes vowel. Justin Gerzich?
Oh, that's a tough one, yeah. That's a tough one.
G-R-Z-Y-C-H.
She's got a Y in there.
C-H.
Oh, my God.
James got so mad at this.
By a vowel, my friend.
Campaign poster the other day. He's like, you only have one vowel.
It's too long of a name for one vowel.
Shannon, no last name. Ergo Lacumno? Uh-oh. I don't know. Richard Reidinger, Abby, no last name, Raymond Smith, Kelly Brown, Victoria Prizabel, that's, no, not good, P-R-Z-Y-B-Y-L.
Okay.
I don't know how to say that, so I'm sorry. Michael Hunt.
Yes.
Sarah Weehy, Lauren Weehy, Weehy, Lauren Malone, John Myers, Aspen Turner, Gabrielle Bernstein, Bobby Bierce, Don Hartley, Cameron Sweeney, Aiden Smith, Brandon Schmaltz, Valerie Callahan, 13 Foxtrot, Emily Marie, Livia, Ooh, maybe it's Livia from The Sopranos. Possibly. Maybe it's Livia Soprano.
Let's hope so.
Livia Soprano. And she also really loves Mystery Science Theater. Jenny Bukowski, Zachary Lee, John Karpesh, Bruce Ezernak, Emily Morris, T. Grimes, Wesley Ponting, and Darlene James. Darlene is lovely. I think we were supposed to see her in Kentucky, Louisville.
Yeah, there you go.
Louisville. Because they got mad at me for saying Louisville. I'm like, well, okay.
Whatever.
That's fine.
Sorry.
So anyway, also somebody sent us an email and I thought you'd love this guy's last name.
What's that?
Daniel Margaritini.
That's a nice one.
That's a nice one. But anyway, he lives in New South Wales, Australia.
Cool.
And he loves us ripping up all of the terrible movies. So hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Hello. And also Ashley Vio Duty, she donated on Patreon.
Thank you.
Not Patreon, PayPal. Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We hope that you also love hate the movie head over heels, and I guess just a good old fashioned go heigle yourselves.
Go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.